Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Mana Spike Podcast. I am your host, Eric Cias. With me, as always, are my co-hosts, Adrian Lopez.
Yeah, I'm first.
Jay Anketell.
Hey, I'm back. How's everyone?
Thank you for joining us, Jay.
It's always a pleasure.
That sounded so fake.
You're a dick.
That was real.
Let's not forget William Hendricks.
I want everyone to know that Adrian almost died attempting to record the introduction.
It was pretty hilarious.
Please send me light bulbs.
I don't understand. Like, you just, there's this falling sound. There's, like, Adrian screaming, ah, fuck. And then he's like, sorry, guys, I threw my lamp against the wall. Like, how is that something that accidentally happens? Like, what part of the falling motion makes you think, like, that throwing the lamp against the wall is going to, like, bounce you off in the other direction and stop you from falling or something?
Oh, man.
Like, I have no idea, like, why your instinctive reaction is, I should chuck this lamp at the wall.
Well, thought it would stop me. I tried to grab it to stop me from falling, and it just...
And then threw it? Like, at some point you grabbed it, and you're like, wait, I'm still falling, because that's how gravity works. And then you're like, God, screw you, lamp, and threw it.
I hate gravity.
I don't think gravity's your biggest fan either, Adrian.
Dude, gravity's always keeping me down.
Did you say gravity's always keeping you down?
Yeah.
Let's just get a clarification, like... I don't get it. I'm just, no, explain it to us.
I have to ask Adrian, are you, like, in a competition for really bad puns with LSV, or what's
going
on?
No, I can't.
You're losing.
He's way too good.
Oh my god.
Because his puns are actually funny. I think.
If that's what you think, Adrian, then...
That explains a lot, actually.
Well, I don't know. I haven't really been, like... I don't know. I've heard it maybe once or twice on, like, on stream and stuff, so I haven't been a big eternal witness of his puns, you know?
Oh my god. Like, are you serious?
Did you just have a shamanic revelation?
Why do you keep throwing... They don't work when you throw, like, random words. Like, in the average, everyday context, you can't just call me a shaman.
Like, he's like, I'm the biggest Mog fanatic of LSD.
You know what? You guys are really making me start to despise you all.
That's hurtful, Adrian.
Did I just dissipate conversation?
Like, what a jerk.
I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I was already having a bad day, and now you're just like, wow.
But Will, you're my
real angel. I'm not even going to let that happen. Every day, after the best part of waking up being Folgers in my cup, the only thing that I have to look forward to is to record this podcast, and then you'd say something like that you, like, despise me. Like, I just don't see the point anymore.
I'm sorry.
Damn, bro. Alright, so let's get into magic magic news and stuff while Adrian collects himself.
That's the official title for this category.
It is. I'm looking at the show notes and it says magic news and stuff.
You really phoned it in this week, didn't you?
Hey, Adrian wrote this.
Hey man, I put a lot of deep analysis into them.
Yeah. Deep, okay.
Okay, no. I like that one. flash that one back at any time.
I think that
that one's quality.
Only if you are paying with your own life to do so. I think that the word stuff appears far too frequently in, like, the opening three lines of our notes, and I have no idea what we're talking about. It's like magic news and stuff. This is the Mana Stuff Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Stuffus.
I mean, but how long have we been doing this? It's been like 2 or 3 months. We should know how, like, the beginning goes. It gets, like, intro, or Eric introduces us, then intro, and then we have the banter where everybody just makes fun of me, and I get really sad, and then we go into serious topics.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it's where you guys give, like, good, actual content, and I just sit here and laugh at whatever you guys say.
You ruined it. Now people are going to copy the podcast and just be like...
Our formula is out. Everyone knows our secret.
We need Adrian because we need to bash him in the intro.
That's what my job is.
All right, so yesterday was a really cool day for all of us because we hopped on Skype together to have a podcast meeting just to kind of go over some things on the agenda that we needed to cover with each other. And then Jay, Will, and I decided to stream some Magic online and on a whim just to test it out, kind of beta test it. And it was really cool because we got to play some Modern. We got to have 40 of you guys watching us, and it was really, really sweet.
It was me. I just turned on, like, multiple computers in my house and my phone.
I appreciate it. I don't believe for one second that you own 40 computers.
It's more like 36, but I had to ask the neighbors.
So because it was such a big success, and we didn't even have, like, a cam on or, like, pictures or anything like that, we just had the stream itself going with our voices, and we thought it was pretty successful given that there were some other popular streamers on. We've decided that Monday nights are going to be officially our stream night, so you'll be able to catch at least 2 to 3 of us on stream every Monday night at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. So look forward to that. I'll be sure to link our Twitch stream channel in the show notes for you guys, and we look forward to seeing you guys and joining us. It was a really fun time. I'm really looking forward to doing more of them.
I think it's entirely possible that the inability to see us might have had something to do with our viewership numbers, because it might have been possible that, like, if you had to look at us ugly motherfuckers, you'd have just been like, nope. We would have had nobody. Or we would have had more people, and then we have, like, an entirely different problem. Like, people who actually like the way that we look, and then I don't know if I can, like, show my face anymore.
I like the way you guys look.
Well, obviously.
You guys look great.
Well, can we talk about Loam and Modern? Like,
I would be fine if we just... I'm gonna punch you in the face. we can talk about Loam forever. Like, Loam is love, and Loam is life, and Loam is just
oh,
perfect.
Yeah, like, I forgot.
So you're a Loam hippie now, huh?
Dude, it's his favorite car.
Now. I was born a Loam hippie. I was born, like, in the clay, like, my parents found me in that, like, lovely mixture, and they pulled me out. And then I was like, yo, you guys should
dredge me out of there.
They just dredged me out of that clay. And I was just like, we should go straight to Value Town from here.
So for those that weren't watching, the reason why we're talking about Loam is because that's what we streamed. We streamed a couple of different Loam decks last night for Modern, and it was pretty sweet. But if you want to hear more about Loam and see more of all this stuff, then you're going to have to watch the stream next week. So let's go on to what we did this past weekend. I know I had a busy Magic weekend. What about you guys?
I played a lot of game day. I went to 2 different game days and spiked both tournaments, which was nice. I really feel like I'm kind of clicking with my deck, and I really understand it now. Red-white, man. It's the way to go. My list is a little bit different. I finally just decided that Monastery Mentor just didn't fit the shell I was playing. So I kind of opted to go with another Wild Slash. So I have, like, 2, I think, now. And 2 Wingmate Rocks in the main board. And see the other creature. Oh, and 2 Brimaw's main board. Deck's doing great. It just has that, like, if a Wingmate Rock comes down, it's just kind of like that nail in the coffin and just ends the game. I'm having a blast.
So does this mean that you have 2 of those $90 mats?
I do, in fact, have 2 Yugen mats, and they're for sale. Go ahead and contact us on the Mana Spot. I don't know if we could probably do that.
Yeah. my question is related to, before we break international trade law, I don't know why it's against rules. How many times are you going to, like, re-fall in love with Bird Bros? Like, how many times are you going to realize that Wingmate Rock is a good card before you, like, forget that it's a good card and then rediscover it again later?
Have I been doing that a lot lately?
I think it's, like, I feel like that's your experience, in my opinion, with, like, white in this format, is that, like, you forget about Wingmate Rock and it, like, flutters outside your doorstep and you hang out with, like, all the new, you're, like, your new boyfriend, but, like, it just waits and it patiently waits, and then eventually you, like, you just, like, go over to Facebook, and you're like, what has Wingmate Rock been up to? And then you're like, Wingmate Rock is single. And just like, oh, man, let me hit it up. And you're like, hey, girl, what you doing? And Wingmate Rock's like, oh, nothing. And you're like, oh, I'm in.
Oh,
and then you
God.
Just, like, ask her if she wants to chill sometime, and then you, like, win two game days.
Yeah, dude. What are you going
at? Will, what are you on, man?
I can't even... I tried to, like,
that
respond.
You're like,
I tried
what
to
is
respond
wrong
without
with
even...
Person?
Oh, my God.
Like, yes. What is your girlfriend... Like, cause I know she's sitting next to you as you're podcasting with us. Does she, like, stare at you oddly while you're going on your rants, or what?
You just learn... You gotta learn to ignore it. You just gotta be like, all right, he's kind of weird. He's going off again.
Comboing off.
This week. I'm just comboing off. Just F6. It's the whole... You gotta F6 on the rant. You just gotta, like, let me go, and either I fizzle, and everyone's like, what the fuck? Or, like, I, like, combo off, and you're just like, that man has a point.
Oh, my God. Man, you threw me off completely. Yeah, Wingmate Rock, great. Great card, does fantastic work. It's really good against things like, Crackling Doom, so, cause it protects my Stormbreath Dragons. I don't know, I'm having a lot of success with the deck, and...
Wait, how does it protect your Stormbreath Dragon?
Cause Crackling Doom hits toughness, correct?
No. I'm gonna say no on that one.
Let me look it up.
Can't believe you're not prepared. We just discussed about being prepared.
It's
what
power.
Do magic cards do?
It's power. Like, everyone
guys,
disagree with me.
Before we continue, can I get Oracle Text on Mountain?
Strictly worse than Island.
Tap add R to your mana pool.
Tap to add R. Yeah,
R.
Well, okay. So
that good R.
I guess I was just making something up. Probably didn't do that. But, yeah. Doesn't die to Elspeth. Even though Elspeth doesn't see very much play anymore.
I don't know what you're laughing about. That's weird.
I don't know
what about Elspeth is funny.
Is it? I think her price drop is going to be really funny. Because guess what was announced?
You guys are you talking about the dual deck?
No. Yeah, Duel Deck. I don't know.
That was announced.
I don't want Duel Deck. I don't know what From the Vault Angels has to do with Elspeth.
Hold on, we're not talking about
Magic,
From the Vault.
Magic Origins? I don't really understand. Like, nothing that you're saying makes any sense to me.
The deck lists for Elspeth versus Kiora are out.
Wait, what?
Oh, really?
Yeah. You guys Do you guys not know that?
Neither of them are very good.
Never,
I saw them.
Never heard of it.
I do not want to buy either.
I'm pretty sure you're making that up.
Okay, well, on the bright side, there's, like, one cool thing, and that's an alternate art, Mother of Runes, or Milf of Runes, because she is super foxy now. Come on,
there's
guys!
There's alternate art Temple of the False God. That's cool.
I'm gonna have to say I'm in that different camp of Magic players, who doesn't like scantily clad anime characters on their islands. So, no, I'm not really looking for, you know...
Hey, how come this Kiora decklist only has two Explore?
That's there's no way that's not just... That is a free toss-up Alex Bertoncini reference.
I was going to say, that's definitely a Bertoncini reference.
Bertoncini.
Yeah, because you're just like, everyone's like, oh... what's in the Kiora deck list? And you're like, two Explores.
Well, I guess it's like two Explores plus Kiora is like the third Explore. So it's like three Explores.
You're doing too much now. You gotta bring
it back. That's too much. You gotta ease up on that. You explore too far and then like you get too far from home and then like you're not back in time for dinner and then like your mac and cheese gets cold. But like two Explores where you want to be.
Well, do you think like when they were designing Kiora, they were like, she should only have two counters, otherwise people could do three Explore off one Kiora.
I mean, if we're going off in that direction, I think the capacity, like, if you take Kiora and then you make her ultimate cost one more, and then you make her start at three loyalty counters, she's just much, much better, not just because she dies of things, but because that uninterrupted sequence of Explore, Explore, Explore is, like, amazing. I don't think that they designed her with a Alex Bertoncini reference in mind, but... This deck, I don't know, like, the stars are just aligning. They're just like, two explore. They just want it to be, like, in that, you know, in the front of your mind.
There's, like, reminder, we banned Bertoncini for this. Don't fuck it up.
Basically. I don't know, dude. I think they're pretty lame. I'm not liking the deck list, but I'm also not casual. So I'm sure casuals will like it.
Is the Mother Runes like $5? I had to buy a Mother Runes like recently.
Did you get yours altered yet?
I did not, but I actually prefer this new art, not because I'm like in a weird way attracted to pieces of paper, but
what's wrong with that?
You just offended
so many people that listen to this podcast.
Paper? Like people who are, you know what? No, I'm not going to hold back on it. I'm just going to be as unpolitically correct as possible. I will not support man paper marriages. I said it. I'm just going to put it out there. I will not ever, it's morally wrong. It's wrong for people to marry their magic cards. And I don't care. Like, I'm a traditionalist. Call me old fashioned, but I will not support people marrying their magic cards. And nothing's going to change it. You can boycott. You don't have to eat all the chicken sandwiches that I make. But I won't. Like, you're not going to change my mind. And I don't care.
Okay.
Alright, so this past weekend, I'll break it up. I didn't play in any of the paper tournaments, but I got a friend, and I guess I've been teaching him to play Magic, and he got a Magic Online account because it's just easier for him to play online than in paper right now. And so we did a few drafts with him and just been showing him the ropes, some of the easy stuff and how to draft. And it helps too, you know, like the teaching experience can help you as a player too. Like especially, you know, they ask those questions that you don't expect, you know, it's like, well, wait, why did you take a 2/3 flyer over a 4/4 with trample? And it's like, well, that 2/3 flyers might actually get more damage than a 4/4 trample. I mean, that's an example, but that's how I spent my weekend.
Well, I too also played in 2 game days, and I was able to get to the finals in both. I was very happy and content. I've been testing for an upcoming PTQ. It's like the last of the old school OG PTQs. That's coming up this next weekend. Actually, this upcoming Saturday in Lubbock. So I'll be in attendance for that. And it's standard format, so I wanted to try something new. I've been on Abzan Whip for a long time, but that strategy is no longer viable. So aside from just like going straight Abzan Aggro or Abzan Control, whatever the new decks are, I wanted to try the most popular deck in the format, which is Red-White, and I got to play a little bit with it. I borrowed some cards from Adrian on Magic Online, and I played a few games and did pretty well, so I built it on paper, and I took it to game day on both Saturday and Sunday, and I got to the finals in both. And even though I am a playmat collector, I decided on Saturday to give that playmat to my buddy Junior, so I scooped to him in the finals.
You dummy.
And then on Sunday, I split with my other friend Matt, and we ended up just selling the playmat back to the store and getting some sweet store credit, and I got some more stuff for my collection. So it was all in all, it was pretty good. The deck is very strong, and I'm still on the fence of what I'm going to play in Lubbock, but I do know now more about the deck than I did before, so like playing the deck actually taught me a lot about what direction and lines the deck actually wants to take, and you know, all sorts of other stuff. So it was pretty good. Did you do anything, Will?
A little bit of following. I mean, we'll get to it. A little bit of following the Open this past weekend, and kind of the resurgence of one of my favorite archetypes in this format.
Oh no, the Devotion decks?
Dude, I love giant fireballs. There's nothing that pleases me more than large fiery balls.
Oh, I get it. What do you guys get quiet?
Because, Adrian, you're not
You don't have to be a pervert about it.
But you were talking about fiery balls.
Crater's Claw. You know, sometimes I really wish you would just grow up.
Do you think it's Do you think it's weird that, like, Wizards has decided that a fireball effect can only be rare in Standard? Like, it would be too much to have an uncommon fireball.
Plus two on it, maybe.
Yeah, they never just make
them real.
They never make them straight fireball anymore. Like, it's plus two or can't be countered or has flashback or all sorts of other things.
Or casted from your can't be countered or prevented if you have no cards in hand.
Yeah, those are all really good, and I think they're rare worthy.
You also got to consider the limited perspective, because, like, variable costed removal spells are, like, really, really good in limited formats, particularly, like, the fireball type, because they are both at the same time kill your biggest creature, and I'm going to tap, like, 6 mana and kill you. So, like, the fact that they are Lava Axe and a removal spell means that, like, them at uncommon is potentially, like, really bad for limited formats.
Well, I mean, since we're talking about it anyway, let's just go ahead and jump into the Star City Open coverage that happened over the weekend. So even though I got to play in 2 game days and I was playing a lot of Magic, I did get to see quite a bit of coverage throughout the weekend. So obviously we're talking about the winning deck list, which was Green-Red Devotion piloted by Robert Burney. Robert Burney is right now, I believe, is from Austin, Texas. But he's been around the entire Texas scene, just on a tear. He's been getting progressively better, and I believe he was qualified for the last couple of Pro Tours, so, it doesn't come as a surprise to me that he won. But looking at his deck list, there's, a couple of cards that I think are really interesting in this deck. The first one is Whisperwood Elemental. Who thought that this card was going to be as good as it actually is? Like, being able to manifest and then just flip over anything that that it is. Like, the only cards that are dead are lands, Ugin's, and Crater's Claws. You get to just get a free dude that morphs into a bigger dude. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I really like the Whisperwood Elemental in such, like, a creature-heavy deck where you're with it. I mean, I guess Genesis Hydra is a whiff as well, but other than that, you're hitting so many powerful cards with it. I mean, if you hit Palukrinos, man, that's just such a crazy morph flip. So, lots of good stuff to hit with it, and it's just raw green card advantage. I mean, putting your creatures into play for free, you can't really say no to that.
Right, and then, like, if you have two of them out at the same time, things could just get nutty. So I think this deck is really well positioned against the red-white
okay,
decks.
Okay, I want to make sure that we specify this. As I understand correctly, if you manifest Genesis Hydra, you can still pay X. So it's not an option.
Oh, you can pay the X as you manifest, because but you still don't get you don't get the ability.
You don't cast,
it just
that's
doesn't
correct.
Die.
But you do get a manifested creature that you can, like, dump. You can still, like, you still have a variable casting size. And because, so, you know, it's not, like, it's a little bit
okay,
of a non-bug.
Yeah. It's not, like, great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but it's not dead, I guess. It's not completely dead. I don't know. You'd have
to
pay above 5 to get value, so might as well keep it as a 2-2.
You're certainly capable of doing so in a deck with Voyaging Satyr and Nykthos, though. Like, it's definitely not, like, out of the realm of possibility for you to have just an obscene amount of mana.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I love Whisper of the Elemental. Like, the value you get the turn you play it is just so good. It's unlike Monastery Mentor, which I know it's less mana, but there's so many times when you're like, drop it on turn 3, please let me untap, and then, what do you know? They have an answer. Don't get any value, but this guy, he's really hard to answer without letting them get value.
Right,
especially if they're tapped out or.
Like I was saying, like the red white decks have a really hard time against this deck because their removal suite is very finite in that they can't deal with big dudes aside from like Valorous Stance, which some of them only run one in the main, some of them don't run any, and then they have some more in the board. But then they also have Chain to the Rocks and then Stoke the Flames. And they can't always hit all those removal spells. And those are just spot removal spells, too. So, like in game one, before they bring in End Hostilities, if they even have that in their board, they can just flood the board with all these giant dudes and easily take control of the game. And quickly, too, because they can generate so much mana at a very early point in the game. So, I mean, this was a good call for this deck, for this particular tournament. Moving forward, however, I think that some new brews are gonna pop up that are gonna be able to compete with the strategy a little bit better. So, I mean, that's the really good thing about Standard right now, too, because it's really variable. There's a lot of variance in the format. But it's good to see something different win, I guess, and it's always good to see Robert Burney win, so congrats to him. We also have Jeskai Tokens in second, and then a red-green aggro deck in third, another Jeskai Tokens in fourth, red-white aggro in fifth, Abzan Midrange in sixth, blue-white control in seventh, and another green-red devotion deck in eighth, piloted by Tan and Grace. So what I thought was really cool about this particular tournament is that top eight, there was a lot of variance in decks. There wasn't just like one solid like deck choice here. Obviously, there were two green-red devotion decks, similar lists in top eight, but other than that, we only had one Abzan deck, one red-white deck, a couple of Jeskai decks, and a red-green aggro deck. That's pretty good for what we're seeing, especially if you look back like three or four seasons ago when top eights used to look a lot like four of this deck and four of another deck. What do you think of the format, Will?
I think that the flexibility for somebody to like, for like basically like red-green or green-red, however you want to slice it, to basically show up in force again, I think is generally going to be indicative of a healthier format where like coming in for a while, it kind of looked like you never want to get to a point where it feels like the format is solved, where people are playing, like people figure out Jeskai and that becomes Jeskai tokens really quickly. And people figure out Abzan Midrange and that's very constant. But I think that, you know, red, white aggro, being kind of an improvement on that Jeskai strategy, like picking up the consistency and still being able to like facilitate what you want to do without playing blue. That's a good direction for that to go. But I think that like ultimately like to see the ability for just big mana to still win an open, I think is a really good sign for the format because it means that like if you're all about like tapping your Nykthos for a really like an enormous amount of mana and Voyaging Satyr, your Nykthos to tap it again for an enormous amount of mana, and you need like multiple dice to keep track of your mana. Like the fact that you can play that, what should be this like off the wall kitchen table deck, and you can win an open playing that, I think that like that's a good format where like that's competitive and viable.
Well, I definitely like, I agree with Will. Like I like to see big mana and other like more fringe strategies. I mean, it's been around. Green red devotion and green red monsters has been in the format for a while now. And I think there's some things that just unlock the potential and not just directly, not like Whisperwood Elemental is making this deck viable by itself, but I think people see other decks like the Temur Ascendancy combo and they think, oh, well, maybe a value midrange deck can get there. So maybe we should try, you know, maybe we don't need that combo. And I just like seeing things get, innovated on in the middle of the format. So it's not always just you see the top eight and it's nothing but Abzan midrange and Mardu midrange and Jeskai tokens. So I like to see the, you know, it's a good mix of aggro midrange control strategies in the top eight. So. Pretty cool to see.
So we've got one all-in, I guess, control deck in like the top 16, from what I can tell. Is this the one, Eric? Is it blue-white, or is it going to be blue-black?
I think both strategies are good. However, I think blue-white has the upper hand, just because some of the removal spells are just a little bit better than blue-black.
Well, Devouring Light doesn't hit Stormbreath, and I mean, if we're going to be seeing so many Stormbreaths.
No, you're right, it doesn't, but I mean, that's why there's the Sainful Stroke and Aether Spouts, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right. And then Resolute Archangel, that's the one that puts him back at 20, correct?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Ooh, that card's fun. I think Jay lost that card a few times.
Oh, yeah. In one of those PTQs, I think. Or no, yeah. It was a Grand Prix trial. Where,
yeah.
Like, at the time, Mardu Midrange was, like, by far the most popular deck in the format, and this guy was, like, packing, like, these crazy sideboard just for Mardu Midrange.
Did he have, like, Nyxfleece ramps and Resolute Archangels?
Yeah,
in his
had, like, he had Resolute. Well, Resolute was the worst thing that he showed. The, that Scrying card, too. At the time, it wasn't that popular. The, lose two, scry two, draw two. So,
read the bones?
Read the bones.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I ended up taking the GDPT down right after that one, so.
I was going to say, I really like Soulfire Grandmaster on the sideboard of this list.
Cool.
It's pretty good. It's a nice little spicy addition to the sideboard for the control mirror, just to buy back all your spells, buy back your counter spells, your divinations.
Your nullifies.
Yeah, all that stuff. Well, I mean, I don't think you're playing nullify in the control mirror.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know about...
Well, why not? I mean, you can't... Like, this deck is so light on threats. It's the only thing I don't like about it. Like,
yeah.
How many... What was this guy's record going in the top eight? Like, how many draws did he have? Because if you just don't draw your... Like, Resolute... It's hard to close the game with Resolute. But if it's just basically Pearl Lake and Elspeth, and you just don't draw it... I mean, I know there's probably... How many dig-through times are there? Three? I mean, but if you just don't see them... It's so hard to close a game out with this list.
Beta Retribution, that's pretty good against the green-red decks. I've had a blast playing Beta Retribution before. I don't like the fact that he's only playing one Last Breath, because, I don't know, from this last weekend, I've seen so many, like, Rabble Masters in, like, every deck. They just jam it into a deck.
Right, I mean, I don't think it was definitely fine-tuned to face the red-white Menace, but it's definitely a list that's a good baseline to tweak a little bit. And to answer your question, Jay, Steven Garcia actually went, let me see.
Good answer.
Sorry, I was doing it.
To just be like, to answer your question, oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
So it was 15, it was 15 rounds, and he had 12 match wins from 36 points. So at best, he went X and 3 overall. Otherwise, maybe he went XO 3.
That would be insane. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's guaranteed to happen, but it feels like it could happen often, especially just playing local. Like, I know here there's a lot more Abzan, and those grindy games... If you just can't close them out, you just run out of time, and that it is something to consider when you're choosing a deck like this. Like, will there be enough time to kill the opponent?
Right. I mean, I don't think anyone went undefeated going into top eight.
I don't think people are anymore, really. I mean, no. It's just too many rounds of Magic. It's
a lot of Magic to play, and
it's 15 rounds at minimum, right?
Right, and that means if you win all 15. XO into top 8, you would have 45 points, and the person going into top 8, or the two people going into the top 2 seeds of top 8 had 37. That means that they went X blank 1, so that's what, 12?
12-2-1.
12-2-1. That's crazy. That's crazy that these records are getting into top 8. But it's also cool. It's interesting.
Dude, so, my baby did great. Look at that, Jeskai Tokens. Second place, Todd Stevens. Jeskai Ascendancy, man. It's coming back, I told you guys.
Well, I like Monastery Mentor a lot in this format. I think that he's seriously undervalued and underplayed. I actually played Monastery Mentor in my red white list. I know that that you said you didn't.
I don't like him.
But I did, and he was insane. Like, he's a threat just by himself.
I think what it comes down to is, like, my turn three, I want it to be a Goblin Rabble Master, because I feel like that just has more of a chance to just keep going off crazy, and they have to deal with it. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just want my turn three to be a Rabble Master instead of a Mentor. But, like, I just feel like the shell didn't really fit him. Like, that red-white, mid-rangey kind of aggro deck.
I don't know. I thought it was good. Especially when I was able to go turn two Seeker, turn three Mentor, and then just leave those two threats out and make them deal with it.
I've got a question. How many Wild Slash are you running?
I was running two in the main on Saturday, which did pretty good, and then I ran zero in the main on Sunday, because on Saturday I forgot to put Chain to the Rocks in the deck.
So
I was running zero Chain to the Rocks on Saturday, and I didn't get punished for it.
Dude, that's lucky. I really, really, really like Wild Slash right now. I am in love with that card. Like, every time I've had it, it feels good, because it knows, it's like I can, if I get that awkward hand where you get, like, you know, the two Temples of Triumph, or whatever, and you're just like, oh, I gotta keep it. And you play the Temple of Triumph on turn one, turn two you play the other one, but you still have, like, the Wild Slash to protect you against, like, a Mentor, or a Seeker, like a late Seeker, or a Rabble Master. That card is doing work for me right now. I am in love with Wild Slash.
Man, I've never heard someone go off so much on Shock.
Yeah, dude, it's cool.
Well,
and
the thing is, standard power level, like, obviously you can't have Bolt. They really gimp you so much in red that it's like, you are excited to see a Shock.
Right, Eric? And that was Jay talking, huh?
Our names?
Think about the Ferocious ability on Wild Slash. Doesn't that totally get a lot of play? Get it? I'm making fun of you because you said that. You don't remember saying that?
No.
And you said on one of the podcasts. Anyways, back to Jeskai Ascendancy. I don't know if I would put the Chandra Pyromaster in, because the card that's been just really doing it for me is Outpost Siege, man.
Oh, man, that card is so good.
Oh, it's
like,
so
insane. Both modes on that card are insane.
Yeah. In a red-white mirror, I was kind of ahead on the board. Basically, I had four goblins, and I think, like, I want to say a Rabble Master, and he had, like, three goblins. And I just played the Outpost Siege, and I was like, you know what, screw it, let's try the other mode instead of the card draw mode. And it's just, he can't make good blocks at that point.
No, because you're still getting through.
Yeah, it's insane.
If you get late game and you gotta close it out and you just have no way to get in, and you draw Outpost Siege and you're holding on to, like, Arc Lightning or End Hostilities or something like that, you can just drop it and then End Hostilities and just win.
Yeah, I mean, like, to be honest, I think instead of Chandra, I think it should be an Outpost Siege in there.
Yeah, I think that card's super good.
And I think Jeskai Charm is too good to only be playing one of. But that's a personal opinion. I don't like running four Treasure Crews. It'd probably be three Treasure Crews, two Jeskai Charm in my list. But no, dude, I'm super excited. I'll put this probably together and start giving it some tests. I don't know, I'll put together a moto. Maybe I'll stream tonight.
Ooh.
Oh. I'm excited. I'm ready.
So if you're listening to this, you'll already have missed it.
You'll already have seen
good
it. Good
job.
Wait, you mean weird when we don't podcast live?
Time travel.
I just want to give a heads up to people ordering from Star City Games right now. There's a winter storm moving through the Roanoke area. Orders that were placed on Friday, February 13th through Wednesday, may not ship out until Friday, February 20th.
Okay, so just sort of
I would like to issue another.
Do you
one.
Understand
we just,
how
we just
time?
Went over.
I want to issue this warning. Do you understand how time works? People won't be listening to this podcast until, like, that date or later, and so
I don't understand.
Here's
another warning for people ordering from Star City: you are overpaying for your cards. So.
Oh my gosh! Well, there goes. Warning. Way to go, Jay! There goes our sponsorship.
Sorry. Hey. I'm here to protect the people, not to get myself a sponsorship.
Oh, I'm here to get myself a sponsorship, not protect the people.
I have another warning I would like to issue.
Yeah.
For those of you who have not updated your computers, there is a concern that when the clock gets to 2000, that your computer will no longer be able to process time, and then it will in fact come alive and eat you. So that is why I thoroughly recommend, and the podcast endorses this opinion, that you all unplug your computers for the New Year's.
The podcast doesn't endorse that opinion at all.
I endorse it, so that's 2 out of 4.
I endorse it, let's vote. Okay.
Yeah, that's 3 out of 4.
We do endorse it.
Your vote doesn't matter, Adrian.
Well, it's Jay voted, and that's still 2 out of 3.
It only matters when you're voting with me, so if you vote with me, it's 2 against 2.
And if we had a guest, he would vote against you, too. And that would be 3 out of 5.
Ugh, okay, I guess, whatever. I hate you guys.
Yeah, so, what were you voting on again?
Whether or not we should encourage people to, prepare themselves for Y2K.
Yeah, you guys should really look into that, people.
Serious stuff. I don't really know how the podcast released, but I really sincerely hope that this message gets out to people in time.
Definitely.
Okay, well, anyway, let's talk about, even though we kind of talked about it a little bit, let's talk about the most recent Wizards announcement, which was from the Vault Angels, and not Elspeth versus Kiora.
From the Vault Raspberry, bleh, I don't like it. I'm not an angel person.
A lot of people are, though.
What, raspberry?
Yeah, like, you know, a raspberry, like...
I raspberries?
A raspberry.
Come on, Will, please.
He can't pronounce magic cards. What makes you think he can pronounce raspberry?
Brute, it's one of the most... You've seen it, like, every day.
A what, a raspberry?
What?
Oh, all right. What angels do we want to see in this?
I definitely want to see Iona.
If you had to choose between Iona and Avacyn, like, which one?
Iona, because it sees play.
Avacyn could see play? Do you even EDH? Seriously, come on.
Yeah.
Avacyn is more broken than Iona.
Iona's awesome in Cube. Do you even cube?
I mean, she's...
Yeah, Will, do you cube?
I would say I would rather see Avacyn over Iona, because if you're playing Iona, you suck. Like, you're a jerk. Desolation Angel is, like, an awesome choice. Desolation Angel, like, with sweet modern border, like, I'd say 10 out of 10, Desolation Angel would be a really, really strong...
Fallen Angel.
I think we'll see something like Jannara, Lightning Angel, Maelstrom Archangel would be a really good choice.
Tormented Angel.
I would rather them not do Tariel, Reckoner of Souls, because I would like to pretend that card doesn't exist.
How many angels are there?
Tariel, Reckoner of Souls just sucks, doesn't it? So that's the, like, bring random cards back?
Yeah.
There's actually not that many, like, angels in Magic.
What?
Like, yeah,
What are you smoking? There's a ton of angels in Magic.
Like, not as much as you would think.
Go to Gatherer and type angel.
I'm on Gatherer. That's only 6 pages.
Like, what angel only do you think is a shoo-in that you don't want to see? Like, I don't want to see a Sarah angel.
I think we'll see it. We're gonna see
please, please spare us, Wizards.
It's
no.
100% happening.
Like, soon enough, that card's going to be a common. It started at rare, and now soon it's going to be a common or like a land. Like, every pack's going to have a Sarah Angel.
Okay, I think...
A basic this, Sarah Angel?
Can yeah, I, a basic. You can play 60 of them if you want.
Okay, I want to give my 3 picks. These are what I think it's going to be, or we're going to see. I think we're going to see Luminarch Ascension. I think we're going to get a Luminarch Ascension. I think we're going to get Fallen Angel. And I think we're going to get Avacyn. Because Wizards hates us.
I think the question is, like, what are the good promo cards that... Well, no, Decree of Justice is in the dual deck. What are the good promo cards that aren't white? Like, I think, by virtue of the fact that there are only so few that are not white, like, a Chroma Angel of Fury is probably a shoo-in.
What's that Bat Angel?
Janara?
No. It starts with an E. Imperial
Archangel.
Yeah, Imperial Archangel. That seems like EDH, like, playable. That's probably, like, gonna get a print.
I feel like Desolation and Necroma are, like, two shoo-ins because they're, like, quality non-white angels. Desolation in a way, I guess.
I like Desolation a lot. I like Angel of Despair a lot, too. I think that'll be in the From the Vault.
Do you think we'll see... No, did we just get an Entreat the Angels?
Nope.
Platinum Archangel. Platinum Archangel seems like an easy include.
The Platinum Angel? The win?
Platinum Angel, not Platinum. Yeah. Unless there's, like, Platinum Archangel, and it's
I have a different
It's like that copy pasta. It's like, you literally can't do anything that would make you lose the game. Like, even if it leaves play, you can't lose
the game. You guys haven't seen that? Oh, wait, I have future set spoilers. I'm sorry. It's hard with all this podcast recording stuff.
Lightning Angel. There you go. Just kidding, we just got one. Dude, there's a lot of angels that can get reprinted. Razia, definitely.
Well, in either case, I think a lot of people are going to be pretty happy about angels. And I know a lot of the other people are going to be extremely upset about From the Vault angels.
No, From the Vault, uh-oh. Remember, Jay, From the Vault, uh-oh, with all the banned cards and alternate arts?
From the Vault, Exile?
Maybe I think Exalted Angel, like, is one last angel with alternate art, like the Judge Art Exalted Angel.
Maybe we'll get a Changeling, because it's all creature types.
Oh yeah, maybe we'll get a Mirror Entity.
Yeah.
Randomly from the Vault
or
Angel.
Or a Chameleon Colossus.
Including all shapeshifters.
There'll be a Chameleon Colossus in From the Vault
Angel. It's like Mutavault Chameleon Colossus.
Morgan Waller.
No actual, like, originally Changeling typed cards. It's just only
Changeling,
Mutamorph. Cards with, like, Angel in the name, but no Angel type.
Mistform Ultimatus.
Or it'll have, like, Kalia of the Vast because everybody thinks that she's an angel.
She's not?
No, she's not.
She's a human cleric, bro.
Wow, that's weird.
Why would she be an angel? She calls on, like, demons, dragons, and angels. She's
a
none of the three.
Girl.
Did you say
she's
a bad
got
girl?
A bad streak in her, dude.
Yeah.
Ugh.
She's naughty.
Alright, so moving on. we have a spike tip segment for you guys this week, but before we get into it, I would like to officially announce a new Mana Spike logo. So
it's me.
No, it's not.
Are you gonna, like, describe it?
No. Because by the time people are listening to this podcast, they will have already seen it.
In five days.
We're gonna upload it tonight. But this is the official announcement of the logo. So I would like to thank Chris from DeviantArt.
Yay, Chris!
His art, he's given us permission to use the art that is featured on our cover photo.
Does Chris have a website?
I will link his DeviantArt page in the show notes this week, and I will also give him credit when we post it. And I would like to especially thank my wife, Nydia Cias, because she is the one that assembled it for us and put it together. And it looks really, really sweet. So she did that, and then she also did our actual profile picture for us as well. So big thank you to her, and make sure you check out her altar page just because shout out.
Well, don't check it out right now because she's doing a giveaway, and I want to win the giveaway. So don't go to her altar page and sign up
for
her giveaway that is on her Facebook page. Do you see what I'm doing, guys?
We see it, and we don't like it.
We don't approve.
I do not approve.
Of giving her exposure? Way to go. She's doing a giveaway, but don't go sign up, because I want to win.
Anyway, so let's go on to spike tips. This week we have a spike tip that has not been submitted by anyone, because no one submitted any to us this week, but we do have a great topic to cover, and that is giving up on the game.
It's supposed to be you're supposed to change your, like, attitude to really sad and, like, depressed.
I thought the spike tip was why you should all quit.
Well, no.
Everything is hopeless.
Yeah, okay. Spike tips. Giving up on the game.
So, Adrian, give us a little bit of background info. What do you mean by giving up on the game?
Alright, well, what I mean is, it's happened to a lot of, like, Magic players, you know, when you hit that moment when you're just kind of annoyed with the game, things just don't seem to be going right, you just can't find a deck that clicks, you're in a rut, you're not doing good at FNM, you're going, like, 0-3 drop at tournaments, and none of the decks just really speak to you. Like, I feel like some of us have really... I've had that issue. I mean, I've had times where I'm just like, I cannot find a deck for the life of me. And then the game just kind of starts to get stale on you, and you just feel like the deck's boring. Or you feel like the game is boring. Have you guys ever had that? Like, where you just kind of like, I don't want to play Magic. I'm frustrated.
Well, maybe Eric should go. I mean, I know he's been probably playing the long... Well, definitely been playing the longest of any of us, and... It's kind of an inevitability. I mean, you explain, Eric.
Absolutely. So I've been playing for nearly 20 years.
Because he's 55.
I am not 55.
Oh.
I'm close, but no.
You lied to me.
You assumed wrong, idiot.
He's 25. You're, come on.
Dude, you're closer to 55 than you are to zero.
You can't call him an idiot. This is recorded.
So I've definitely had... times where I've been stuck in a rut and taking a lot of losses and making wrong deck choices, especially when I was first getting into the competitive scene. So kind of ways that I handled it was, it was really tough because I was younger and I was a lot easier to like lose my cool, and it was a little bit tough. So what I would do is just take breaks from the game. I would just stop playing altogether for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and then I'd jump back in. But nowadays that, you know, Magic has gotten so big in popularity, it's almost everywhere now. You have coverage and you have streams and you have Magic Online that's blowing up pretty well. And you have Magic and paper to be played almost every day in most cases. It's kind of tough when you're kind of feeling down about it. So a couple of ways that I deal with it now is playing... a different format. So I finally built my Tiny Leaders deck. I've been having a lot of fun playing Tiny Leaders. And I've been, playing some EDH. I've been, playing some Magic Online. I've been playing some Cube with some friends. I've been doing a lot of different stuff. At the same time, I'm also testing for, upcoming tournaments like the PTQ that I'll be going to next week. So, playing more than one format and just kind of, remembering that you're here to have fun and all that stuff has been really helpful for me. But when you're stuck in a rut and like, you're not really feeling any decks or anything like that, just try a different format. Maybe, start doing some drafts, do some modern if you have modern or EDH or something. Just remember why you play the game. Like Jay said, it is an inevitability, but, there's definitely ways to get over it. And there's nothing wrong with taking a break. Like, you don't need to just quit the game altogether, but just take a break. You know, if you need to take a week or two off just to clear your head and kind of get out of it and come back to it later, that's fine too, because at the end of the day, this is just a hobby. So, just remember, you know, why you're here and why you love the game, and you'll come back to it. I haven't met a person who's just, like, straight up quit playing Magic and hasn't come back at some point in time.
You always get that, that, like, salty person who's just like, I hate the game. I never want to play Magic again. Then you're like, you want to draft? Or you just happen to, like, name their favorite format, and they totally want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then you just see them next week at the tournament, too. Like, they'll just rage quit a tournament, and then you see them next week again. Like, it happens all the time.
Yeah. But, my belief has always been, like, if you're playing the game and you're not having fun, you're not enjoying yourself, then you're doing something wrong. Because the game's supposed to be fun, and at the end of the day, it's a game, and we should be enjoying ourselves. I mean, we all have different reasons for playing Magic. And I don't know, I that's always been my thing. Like, yeah, you get frustrated. We've all been frustrated at the game. When you go to a tournament, and you just don't do as well as you want to do. I mean, I've had moments where I'm just like, you know, I'm done. I'm gonna step away for a while. And I think that's fine. I think little breaks are fine. If you don't want to play, you know, if you're just getting frustrated, step away for a while. Go for like 2 weeks without playing. I'll go like a week here or there without playing. Cause I play a lot. Like, like, because of MTGO, I basically try to put in 2 or 3 hours a night, but that's like a whole different topic. I just have this belief that you have to put in a certain amount of hours and be critiqued to become a better player. But I'm going way off. But I don't know, like, play at your own place, at your own pace, and take breaks. Because you just don't make it to where Magic is a chore. Make it to where you're still enjoying the game.
I think that a lot of the times it's like, there are things that you can come to enjoy about the game, and I think that a lot of the times when you start to find a certain aspect less enjoyable, then there's certainly the opportunity to find, like, other aspects of the game more enjoyable. So I think that there's, like, the capacity to, like, if Standard starts to feel like a chore, like Eric said, you can play other formats, but there's also other, like, aspects of the game. You know, like, one of the cool things about this podcast that we record is it's a way that, like, we can talk about Magic and be involved with the game that is sometimes external from the concept of feeling like you have to, like, grind out the reps with your deck. So, there's a lot of different ways. If you're listening, probably one of the coolest and, like, definitely make you really popular ways to, like, broaden your Magic horizons is to, like, follow us in everything that we do. And tell us how cool we are. But, I mean, there's, like, a lot of different things that you can do.
Well, definitely, you know, we're not here to tell you, you gotta play Magic for the rest of your life. And if you're gonna think about getting out, don't. Or, you know, it is a hobby. We will find you. But it's like Eric says, you know, you get burnt out on everything. I have tons of hobbies. I play games. I watch movies. I'll go out drinking, and they all go in cycles. Like, you know, there'll be weeks where I want to watch a ton of movies, and the next week, you know, I just can't even stand to sit down for more than a second. And, you know, I've been playing Magic since Ravnica came out, and, you know, when they started talking about Planeswalkers and Mythic Rares, there was a time, like, when I was like, oh, this game sucks. I never want to play it again. I'm going to sell all of my cards, and I'm done. And, you know, what it really comes back to and why I like Magic more than those other hobbies is just the social aspect, you know? You can leave, but your friends are always there, you know? So it's just about having fun, and it's really, I've learned it's no big deal, you know? I was thinking to myself, and I was a lot younger then, too, when Planeswalkers came out, I was thinking, oh, Planeswalkers are going to ruin Magic forever, and it's going to be unplayable. But, it's very playable. I wouldn't say they're the most amazing inclusion in Magic ever, but they didn't destroy it beyond repair. So, just got to go with the flow, I think. And taking breaks, it can help you mentally, and it can also, you know, I guess... it can help you just get over those ruts, because if you're on tilt and you're already angry when you're going into a tournament, you're not going to play well. So better to just take the break than try and force yourself if you really don't want to do it. But these things, I think the longer you play any Magic or do any hobby, I think you're going to find, unless you're just one of those really truly dedicated people that all they do is play Mario 64 every day for 8 hours a day, and there's people like that. Unless you're one of those, I think
there is people like that.
There are definitely people like that.
That only play Mario 64.
They're, like, they exist.
We're talking about Mario 64, the, like, not multiplayer.
Oh yeah. Are you kidding? You guys need to watch Twitch more.
Dude, all they do is, like, speedrun it?
Yeah, all they do is speedrun.
That's insane.
But, I mean, there are dedicated people like that, but I think that's more of a fringe than the norm, so.
That's crazy. I'm sorry, I'm still kind of blown away at the fact that people still play Mario 64 that
no,
much.
No, I mean.
Yeah, can we talk about this 8 hours
I'll
of
admit,
Mario 64?
I'll admit, I was on a Mario 64 binge when I kind of first discovered speedrunning. I think that was like 4 years ago, and I spent a lot of hours playing Mario 64.
I was on a Mario 64 binge when Mario 64 came out.
Yeah, me too.
And that was it.
Oh, no.
I put it down when I beat it.
That thing has lasting appeal.
I don't see the replay value in it at all.
Well, it's kind of like, how fast can you beat the game?
Don't care.
Well, that's you. I mean, that's just your opinion. Some people care a lot. Some people, that's all they care about. I don't know. I mean, I can see it. Like, as someone who really likes Magic, I can see it. It's just a different hobby.
Yeah, like, I guess. I mean, I really love Magic.
It really is complex how you beat Mario 64 in the shortest amount of time, so.
But at least Magic changes over time. New formats, new metagames, new cards. Mario 64 is always going to be the same. Like, you're going to find the stars in all the same place. Bowser's still going to be
at
the end.
You know,
but how fast can you do that?
Well, it's not just that, but, like, people, even to this day, people are experimenting with, like, what's the fastest way to actually beat the game is.
It's just different strokes for different folks, I guess. People enjoy different things. But, I don't know, I think that's one of the cool things about, like, our hobby, is kind of what you guys were saying, where there's different areas to explore in the hobby. I mean, you can go to a tournament, you can go to a Grand Prix and not actually play in the Grand Prix. Will is, like, a prime example of that. He doesn't actually, like, play in the events. He, you know, he judges or he goes and visits all the artists. I mean, there's a lot of interesting and cool things that you can do with the game. But when Jay was talking, like, Jay reminded me a lot of, do you remember that podcast that we listened to when we were going to GP San Antonio? Mark Rosewater's, 20 Things That We're Gonna Kill Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, I remember it. Oh, that was pretty good.
I definitely, think you guys should take a listen to that and, just give it a shot. He's been podcasting for a while now. He's got a really good podcast. I really enjoy it. But yeah, I don't know, man. If you're feeling like the game's too much, take a break. Find a hobby. Speed run.
Well, tell us what that podcast was. Don't just ask Jay if he remembers and then that's it.
It's called,
It was like the 20 things that were gonna ruin Magic forever. And it started like chronologically,
yeah.
Like with, oh, four card limits is gonna ruin Magic. Cause originally you could play any number and people really liked playing their, not Relentless Rats, but it was like the rat card from Alpha. Like, whatever the original card that was a rat, like, people liked to play, like, 30 of them in a deck. And they're like, well, four card limits is gonna ruin Magic, cause I'm not gonna be able to play, like, 30 of my rats. Like, I can't remember what that OG rat card is, but.
Could you imagine playing, like, 10 Seed Rhinos in a deck, 15
oh
Seed
my
Rhinos
God,
in a deck?
I would hate Magic more.
You can
than
play 10 of a Magic card.
Can
you
imagine playing,
you
like, 10 Sinkholes? That would be fun.
So there was a time during Shards of Alara block standard when a buddy of mine was playing Jund. Like, we were both playing Jund, and then we got paired up in a random tournament, like just a regular box tournament, and we were playing against each other. And it was a really good match. We were just kind of going back and forth, trading off Bloodbraid Elves and Lightning Bolts with each other. And he had cast his fourth Bloodbraid Elf, and then I terminated it. And then next turn, he cast a fifth Bloodbraid Elf. And I was like, what are you doing here, buddy? He was playing five Bloodbraid Elves. It was on accident, but he was playing five Bloodbraid Elves. And I was like, no wonder you're doing so well in this tournament. You're playing five Bloodbraid Elves in this deck.
That's strong. It's value. It's good value. So, moving on. There was this article that came out last week. I think Will helped link it to me. Who was the author? I can't remember his. He's got Paolo. I think. How does it start? How does it go?
Paolo Vito da Modarosa. PVD.
PVD.
PVDDR.
And it was basically, the article was on the state of Modern right now, and after the Pro Tour, Fate Reforged, which I guess I missed your guys' analysis on, talking about how Modern is, there's too many linear decks in the format.
Wait a second. Hold on. Before you talk about this article, we need to address something, Jay.
All right. Address it.
Our analysis of the Pro Tour found that there were 8 copies of Siege Rhino minimum in the top 8.
Oh no, he didn't.
Oh, he brought it up.
Okay, I don't
care. You were gonna get away.
I don't know what to say.
You should.
The card's bad.
I owe you a draft set, Eric.
I owe you a draft set, Eric.
And I will take it on Magic Online.
You'll take it online. Well, I happened to win a draft set yesterday.
Sweet.
In an event.
That's true.
That
That's what we were
streamed.
I believe that what you should do
All right.
is title this podcast episode Siege Rhino
this,
is bad, says Jake.
You owe me a draft
Siege Rhino is bad. Like, I'm not taking that back.
I owe you one pack, Adrian.
One pack of Modern Masters.
No.
Of Vintage Masters.
Vintage
paper.
Masters. So I can have Will open it and open another Mox.
Okay.
I don't know. Does it matter that there were 8 Siege Rhinos? Like, pros are bad.
It does to me.
I don't know.
I got some value out of it.
Well, you got it.
Pros are bad.
All right, Jay, go ahead and talk about your article.
All right. So, basically, Modern. What's the deal with Modern? There are too many decks that are just mono or like linear strategies, so like burn, twin, infect, what are the other ones? Bogles, storm, and literally in your first game, there's no way to interact with them. Like if your opponent is playing twin and you don't have like a specific creature kill spell to kill a Deceiver Exarch, and they do it, they combo off on the fourth turn, then you lose. So you're basically, in Modern, you're relying too much on your sideboard for all of your matchups, or Affinity, for instance. You know, how are you going to beat Affinity if you don't have tons of artifact hate in your sideboard? Because Affinity has, like, a great matchup in game one against so many decks. It's so fast at just putting all of its cards into play by turn two, and its cards get huge, you know, like by themselves with Steel Overseer and Ravager and that equipment. I can't remember. Cranial Plating. So the problem with Modern right now is that there's basically nothing to fight, to fight all of these combo decks, and it's impossible to prepare for all of the different strategies. You know, how do you prepare for Bogles and Affinity and Splinter Twin, and Storm, and Amulet combo? Like, so, I mean, what do you guys think? Is Modern, like, is the power level kind of in a bad spot where there's not, like, the fair decks? Like, they say fair as in, like, basically mid-range or not a specific combo to beat your opponent, but they, other than, like, the black, green, white shell, which is just using discard and Thoughtseize to pick apart all the combos, there's not very much in the format that can fight all of these ridiculous combos running around. So what do you guys think? I mean, what's your opinion?
So I have a lot of opinion on this article. Let's start out first and foremost by talking about PV himself. He hasn't been putting up results lately, and that's hugely attested to the fact that he has kind of basically just given up on Magic. And he's moved on to Hearthstone. So, anything that he puts out, as far as content goes, should be taken with a grain of salt, because he's not even really playing Magic anymore. The second issue I take with this article is that pros like to whine about Modern all the time, because all they do is claim that the metagame hasn't been broken, like it just stays the same, it's stale, you're always expecting the same decks. And that's how it is at Pro Tours. But every time there's a Modern GP, you always see some rando winning. It's very rare that you get a pro winning a Modern GP. So that goes a lot to say that the people who are playing Modern the most are the people that love the format, and they're the ones that are tinkering with decks, developing new ideas or strategies, putting in new tech for whatever deck is popular. I think the Modern format is healthy where it's at, and I think that the pros just cry about it too much, and this article is just more of the same. You know, it's just another pro crying about the article. I think the format is fine. I don't think, because like in the article, he also claims at the end that he wants to see them unban Jace and Bloodbraid Elf to shake up the format. And I don't think that's necessary. I think the format has a lot of variants already.
Well, like part of the crux of his argument is that there is variance, like, you know, it is, you know, Affinity and Infect are different decks. That's variance, but in reality, they're both very similar in how they interact with other decks, which is they pretty much ignore what the other deck is doing, put all of their, you know, resources into one huge threat that they hopefully can't deal with and bash them. So, I don't know. I mean, what does everyone else think? I don't think there's a reason to, like, dismiss the content of the article just based on who the, you know, who this guy is. I think he has some fair points. Like, playing Modern, it is kind of annoying when there are just so many decks where you'll run into that random Storm player and you just have nothing to do. Like, it's so much solitaire on their end, just running through all their cantrips.
But I mean, look at the example that we have just yesterday on the stream when we were playing Loam, when you started to go off and just Loaming and then being able to cast Raven's Crime over and over again, or Flame Jab over and over again. Like, that's the point of your deck. And Burn, all it wants to do is just burn the opponent. And Blue, White, Red, Geist, all they want to do is control the board and then bash with Geist. Like, all these different decks have their own singular strategies. And just because Infect and Affinity have the same basic strategy doesn't mean that the format is bad. It just means that all these decks are healthy enough to survive a format full of variants where all sorts of different components of the metagame can survive, like combo and control and aggro and burn and like all these different things. That means that players are perfectly content with coming into a tournament, playing any given deck, and not having a problem with it. It's like I said, it's just these pros crying about the format. Oh, there's no best deck, so I don't know what to play. It's a bunch of BS, man. I don't approve.
I don't think that what he's saying in this article is that there's no best deck and that he doesn't know what to play. I think that what he's saying in this article is that there is a best deck. The best deck is probably Abzan. It's that Abzan is the best deck because it plays efficient creatures and is the only, like, viable strategy where you get to play, like, Inquisition and Thoughtseize and have a chance of winning a tournament like that.
But it's not. Abzan didn't even win the tournament.
No, but Abzan is like 31% of the field because it's very difficult for you to be successful, and
it still didn't win.
Right, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee you the win. I think his point is that, like, by the fact that, like, because Control doesn't have a card like Ancestral Vision, or it doesn't have Jace, or both, the Control deck, we've seen, like, this kind of slow erosion to where, like, the blue-white-red Control deck is just falling further and further out of favor in Modern. And if that deck can't exist, then, like, Abzan midrange becomes the de facto Control deck. And that's when it winds up being, like, a third of the field is Abzan because you're either playing French combo or you're playing Abzan or you're probably not going to win.
I think we would be hard-pressed to see 30% of the field at a Modern GP be any one deck, whether it's Abzan or other.
You say 30?
Yeah.
I was under the impression that Abzan was 31% of the field.
No, at a GP. At a Pro Tour, we had this discussion a couple of casts ago. At a Pro Tour, all these guys are on testing groups, and they're all coming to the same conclusion that they think that this is the best deck to attack this format with. And it's such a smaller sample size at a Pro Tour. There's way less players at a Pro Tour than there are at a GP. But if you go into a GP, you will not see 30% Abzan.
Well, I actually wonder if you took a poll of everyone that signed up for the GP and it's like, well, we know what your deck you submitted on your deck list is, but what deck would you want to play if you had the money for it? I wonder how many of them would switch to Abzan. So, you know, it is a money issue as well with Tarmogoyf sitting where they are. And it's a problem that the pros don't necessarily have because they're more easily able to, like, borrow cards from their network if they're going to the Pro Tour. So I don't know if a GP comparing to the Pro Tour is, like, the best way to, like, determine what the metagame would be, because if Tarmogoyf was printed at common, like, I'm sure it would see a lot more play in those modern GPs.
I don't know, man. I just think that, like, for me personally, I read a lot of articles and I study metagames a lot. You know, I'm over here trying to do well and, you know, spike a PTQ, spike the regional PTQ coming up. And I don't take anything in this article or anything that's written by this author, seriously. Like, I just don't.
All right. Well,
but that's just my opinion.
There you have it.
I don't know. So, Adrian, you've been pretty quiet. Do you have an opinion on this at all?
Okay. You guys know that, like, I prefer Modern. Modern is my favorite format. I'm having a blast in Modern right now. I think there's so many decks, that it just makes it, like, anytime I go to a Modern tournament, I have a blast because I have absolutely no idea what people are playing. And, you know, yeah, the money issue with Abzan, it's a thing. Like, I mean, I played, Jund for the last PTQ I went to. And I mean, I still saw so many, you know, like, I'm just gonna call it Junk and Jund. So many Junk and Jund decks that I think if you want to play something in a format and you're serious about playing, you will get those cards. That's the way it is, I think. But, going back to, you know, all the different types of decks, I think that's kind of the beauty about Modern, is the fact that I can sit down and my opponent, he can be playing Affinity, or he can be playing Splinter Twin, or he can be playing Gifts Control, you know? Like, there's just so many different decks, and the format's just so far away from solved, it's fun. And that's, I mean, even you, Jay, you play Loam, you've played Enduring Ideal. I mean, it's kind of cool to sit in a format, or to play in a format that those kind of decks can still take down a tournament sometimes. Like, that's awesome. And I don't know, I love where Modern is again. I love the fact that Treasure Cruise is gone. I like that Dig Through Time is gone. I'm okay with Birthing Pod being gone. I never played the deck. Well, I mean, apart from just, like, we had the card, so we built it. I never was a big fan of playing it. But anyways, that's beyond the point. I really like where Modern is right now. I mean, I will travel to Eric's hometown. I don't know, is El Paso your hometown?
Yeah, man, El Paso is my hometown.
Yeah, so I'll travel, you know, like the hour to get to Eric's hometown to go play in a Modern tournament just because it's Modern. I mean, I don't know. I'm very passionate about Modern. I enjoy it. I love it. And I think it's always fun. It's also really cool that it gives, like, newer players, or, you know, players that have just recently come to the hobby, kind of like a goal to get to, you know, where they go, man, you know, I'm really bummed that my standard cards are going to rotate, but what's cool is I can start trading up to play Modern. And it kind of gives everyone, it's a little bit more of a, it's easier to reach that goal than it is to reach Legacy. So I'm a big proponent of Modern. I really enjoy it as a format. I didn't put a lot of input because I haven't read the article, because I've read a lot of articles where people complain about Modern. And I don't know, for me personally, I enjoy it, and it's fun. Hell, I'm going to a Modern tournament Thursday. So, I mean, I love the format. And that's my opinion, man. It's just, like, my opinion, man.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, I kind of think Modern could use a little bit of shake. I'm not on the level where I think Jace should be unbanned. Don't get me wrong. I'm not agreeing with this article 100%. I think it is interesting that there's, you know.
You know what really makes up the format? Ban the fetch lands.
Just make the format bad to play.
Are you an anarchist? Not to, like, make the format better. Bad. You just want people to suffer.
Or ban Lightning Bolt.
I think, boom, like, a Modern reprint of Counterspell. I think Counterspell is not too powerful for Modern. I'd like to see something like that. Like, it's more of an appropriate middle ground than unbanning Jace.
How would they go about making Counterspell legal in Modern by not making it legal in Standard?
Modern 2012.
And Modern Masters 2015.
What the hell is Modern Masters 2012?
That doesn't make the card legal.
How would it not?
They'd have to change the rules of what defines a Modern format.
Oh.
Well, just change the rules of what defines a Modern format, then. Yeah, not hard. All you do is say that it is, and it is.
I mean, I'm all for it. I love me some OG Counterspell.
Like, I think Counterspell would do great in Modern.
I think that we're fine.
And this is coming from someone who doesn't like blue. Like, don't get me wrong. I still want blue players to have their fun.
But I think we're fine with Remand and Mana Leak. I think those are good. We're okay with those. We don't think we need Counterspell.
Yeah, I'm fine with those too. I would love Counterspell though.
Yeah, have you guys ever had to, like, since we're winding down, have you guys ever had to explain, like, why a card is good to somebody? I had to do that.
I can't think of, like, a recent example, but all the time.
Well, I have a good example. I've told many people, and I went through this personally, and I have taught people of Magic, and they went through it, and I think Adrian went through it too. Like, to me, there's a moment in your development as a Magic player when you understand why Dark Confidant is generally better than Phyrexian Arena.
Yep.
So, like, there's a point where, like, when people are new to the game, and they almost always think that Phyrexian Arena is better than Dark Confidant. And, like, there's that point when you finally realize that, like, yes, Confidant has a worse effect, but the fact that it's a 2-mana, 2-1 creature makes it so much better. And, like, I think that that's one of the best examples I know of, like when you figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I see people struggle with when they're first starting out is, why are non-basic lands good when they cost more money and I can just play basic lands? Like, why would I want to have mana fixing in my deck?
Yep. I'm in the process of explaining to a buddy of mine, because he is all about those life gain lands, and he's just like, man, I don't really want fetch lands because they cost me a life to play. And I'm like, no, that's... But it comes in untapped. Like, it takes a little while to explain to them why they want to be doing the things they're doing. But, yeah, I don't know. Alright, so someone asked me why Remand is good. Why do
people... You don't know. Tempo.
Yeah. One more cantrip.
It is very, very close sometimes. At maximum value, it's very close to Time Walk. It's just about the same as taking another turn. Like, if you're playing the kind of strategy where all you really need to do is get some extra time to kind of develop what you want to do, Remand is like a very simple 2-mana, you know, we're both not going to do anything this turn. And sometimes, like, that's exactly what you want to be doing. Like, if you're playing a turn 4 combo deck, telling your opponent that, like, we're not doing anything on turn 2 is... like, really in line with the, like, on my 3, I want to play Pester Miter, Deceiver, Exarch, and I want to untap and kill you. Like, skipping a turn, skipping one of each of our turns is really, really good for a deck like that.
All right, so, winding down, let's close it out. First, I want to say thank you to everyone that's given us your feedback and all your input. We really appreciate it. Please continue to submit all your spike tips to us. And then... what I also want to see is, what are you guys seeing out there? How are you guys doing at your PPTQs or the last of your PTQs or even your GPTs? I know that these guys that are here casting with me, they don't really have the time to travel because they're in school to go to a lot of the events, but I'm still grinding myself, and I don't want to be alone on this journey. I know some of you guys out there are still traveling, so give us your tournament reports. Shoot us an email or post it up on our Facebook, and that way we can talk about it with you guys. We want to be as interactive as we can. So I want to close out the cast with a Tiny Leader update. We talked about it a lot over the last couple of weeks. It's blown up like crazy in the entire Magic community. Here in our local community in El Paso, it's been slowly blowing up, and I finally built my Tiny Leader's deck. My Tiny Leader is Shuyin. I built a Jeskai Tiny Leader's deck, and it is awesome. I love it. It's one of my new favorite formats now. What about you guys?
I ordered a Doran.
Doran!
That's as far as I've got. Yeah, I mean, he's strong. He's a strong tree.
He's
a 5/5 for 3. Come on. How many other Tiny Leaders can fight a Doran?
That's true. Mine definitely can't, because I'm playing Nin. Also, This is a cry out to anybody out there. Please, if you have an Infiltrade, let me know. Because I can't find one anywhere.
I think I might have one, Adrian.
Are you serious?
I might, yeah. If anything, I definitely have the oversized one.
Oh my god, I will take that. Please. I'll use the oversized one. No,
He'll just blow up the rest of his cards. So
I definitely...
What happens when they condemn it and you're like, oh crap.
I gotta shuffle it in. I'll just get a proxy. But no, yeah, dude, I'm playing blue-red, kind of like a Delver. It just locks out lands that play back to basics, and I play Blood Moon. It's fun. I am having a blast with the format. It's like good EDH.
Did you say you're playing back to basics and Blood Moon?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I never want to play you in Tiny Legion.
You're all my friends.
That I don't want to play against.
All my friends here have built really mean decks. Like, all of us are playing super mean, competitive Legacy-style decks.
Like, my Jeskai deck is, like, a Delver deck with Young Pyromancer and tokens and stuff like that. And it's just a lot of burn and a lot of control. But it's fair. It's not unfair. Like, I'm not playing Stone Rain deck.
Oh, I didn't know that you were filthy casual.
I don't know. I would never want to play any of you guys.
Well, we don't want to play with filthy casuals.
Yeah. I don't like casuals. Maybe you should make a better deck.
Well, I'm investing all my time and energy into the
making a better
format.
Deck?
No, into the standard format, which is what you guys should be doing too.
Yeah, I guess I could do that. Dude, next Pro Tour, I'm calling it Tiny Leaders. It's going to be the thing.
Pro Tour. So they're giving up on the modern Pro Tour because PV wrote this article and they're going to announce that, that the fourth Pro Tour is going to be Tiny Leaders.
Hey, at least he can play Counterspell on Tiny Leaders. So.
Maybe he'll actually decide to come out and play.
So when I made my Tiny Leaders deck, dude, I was like so pumped. I was like, yes, I know what goes into my deck. Counterbalance. This is going to be insane. Nobody's going to be able to play a thing. And I played one game and I had Counterbalance, and then we learned that it was banned.
Yep, I was
banned. And there's a good reason why it's banned.
Yeah, so good.
You're a jerk, by the way.
Yeah.
Because you played like top Counterbalance in a format.
Yep.
Can only cost. What is wrong with you?
I know. I was like, man, these guys made a mistake. They should really ban Counterbalance.
That kind of reminds me of Jay showing me Moto replays playing Commander one-on-one queues where he's playing Monogreen Devotion, and then he like leads like both of the games or something. He like leads with turn one Sol Ring, and I was like, Sol Ring is usually banned in one-on-one EDH.
Well, hey, we're
and he was
playing
like, oh. But I was just like, man, that's why everyone with French rules is just like Sol Ring is so oppressive in a one-on-one format, and I was just like, you're right, that's why it's really good.
Oh, man. You gotta build the Circle of Protection deck. All of those colors.
Just play every Circle of Protection.
I'm sleepy, can we go now?
Alright, Adrian. You're sleepy, and I think we're gonna stream, so that'll be it for tonight. So thank you guys for tuning in, I really appreciate you all listening. Stay tuned for more of the podcast shenanigans as well as the stream shenanigans. We have a lot to look forward to, and I'll be back next week with my tournament report from the PTQ. So, thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all next week.